homes this afternoon. Sorry it took me just a little bit longer to get my outline up on the Facebook for you to look at tonight. I'm a little bit late, about 10 minutes late. But I thank God. I'm glad that you joined us here tonight. And I hope and pray that as we get into our time of the Book of Deliverance and the Book of Exodus, as we get a little bit further into this, it's all about being delivered from bondage, amen. Each and every one of us has something that is plaguing us, something that is binding us back from what we need to be doing, amen. And so I thank God as we look tonight at that sixth plague, bubbling with boils, bubbling with boils. It's power over the body and health. God has power over this body. God can do things. You know, I saw some of the most healthiest people that all their whole God and image that they worship was being able to get out and have a great health, and they worshiped themselves as an image. You know, they thought that they were beautiful. God created all of us in His image. All people are beautiful. But as we sculpt ourselves, and if we fall infatuatedly in love with ourselves, we ought to be in love with God, our Lord and Savior. We ought to be in love with our families, and it oughtn't be so much about ourselves. And tonight is one of those messages that teach us that God can do whatever He wants to do as we honor Him with our bodies, that we use them for His honor and glory. Amen. And so here tonight with this sixth plague bubbling with boils, Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. Looking forward to getting into it with you here tonight. And getting into our message as well. Tonight, this is February the 28th, 2021. It's the 16th of Adar 5781, amen. And so I thank God, Brother David Kahn had a great message this morning for us at People's Valley. Want to welcome all of you to come out and be with us. If you don't have a church, we're not having Sunday nights right now, as we have a kind of a break in between from the Sunday morning on that until we get these COVID stuff taken care of. So we're being as careful as most churches are as well. And so, but we'd love for you to come and be with us. 10 o'clock Sunday school, morning worship at 11. Brother Bob Carroll right there at 68 Leopard Lane, right down from the old Cass High School, amen. Once you pass Rudy York Road, Leopard Lane's the next left. If you keep going, you're going to run right into People's Valley and pass us. But come on over there. Brother Bob Carroll on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We'll be teaching Bible study right there with all the ones that are meeting there. And I'm doing Facebook for those shut-ins and for those that are not come back yet to be safe as well. And so please, we'd like for you to join us. If you don't have a church, we'd love you. I tell you, you'll meet a kind church as well as the Word of God. Monday nights, all of us are praying at 7 o'clock every Monday night, a corporate prayer. And we're praying for all of the needs and necessities, especially those ones that we're going to be mentioning tonight that are lost. And I want to remind you that this week I start my 40 days of prayer. And I'm praying specifically for all of the children, our kids, of our members in our church, amen, with our 40 days of prayer. And so one day this coming week, it might be Tuesday night, that I'll come on and have a devotional about that starting and kicking that off of my 40 days of prayer, that I'll be praying specifically for our children of the church, amen. And and I know most of all of our children. The ones I don't, I'll find out their names and I'll put them on our list. But we'll be praying specifically for them. And so please, I want to challenge you, if you're not involved in prayer, it is one of the most important tools that you'll ever have in your Christian tool pouch, amen. And so let's get right on. As I always tell you, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. And so tonight, we return to the series, The Book of Exodus, amen. And tonight, we're speaking on Exodus chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. This is the sixth plague, bubbling with boils, amen. I thank God as we look and realize tonight, this affects all of the Egyptians and the animals as they almost like the worst case of poison oak and poison ivy you ever had, because you break out all over, amen. And I thank God as in this particular thing that we're talking about tonight, that God does, using just the soot or the ashes off of one of the baked kilt ovens that are there that they use to bake the bricks. And so God could take just about anything and do whatever He has with the resources, amen. For any further, let's have that time of prayer. And then we're going to be able to worship just a little bit with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to remember all of our lost ones, Rachel Zumont, Mark Pratt, Kara King, Heather Bentley, Also, Melissa Ruppel, Becky Benefield, Laura Skates. Also, Renee Mann, family of five, Kobe Boyd, Ressie Bennett, Christy Campbell, Don Massey Jr., Michael Morgenstein, Mary Pruitt's Uncle Larry, Mary Pruitt's cousins Michael and Danny. Also, Daryl Pruitt's friend in Tampa, Florida, George Gordon, Jake and Joy Sr., Dr. Pete Limpnack. All of these, lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember all of our widows and widowers, which is Joyce Coots, Betty Eaton, Gail George, Mary Sr., Sheila Sr., Sarah Turner, Elizabeth Boucher, Melinda Grimes, LaVon Underwood, Linda Adams, our men, our widowers, Jim Leahy, Sam Lewis, Earl Matheson, Todd Barnes, John Osher, Bradford Thomas. Remember all of these ones as well. As we pray for those ones that are dealing with cancer as well, Gail George, Carolyn Bentley, Eugene Jenkins, Stevie New, Daryl Pruitt, Carrie Jo Payne, as all of these needs, and of course, my Uncle Bradford Thomas as well. Keep all of these and the people that you know that are dealing with cancer, lift them up in the mighty name. Remember all of these people that are dealing with COVID, the COVID workers, the first line of defense, our students, each and every one that are working on trying to get them another job, their houses, their finances. There is so much to pray about with the coming resolve of all of these things as well. And so let's lift them up tonight. Lord, we bow before you. And Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would just, Lord, show us your mighty word. Let it be displayed tonight, Father. Lord God, that we humble ourselves before you, O Heavenly Father. That, Lord, that we would not exalt ourselves over your word or your purposes, Father. That, Lord, we profess to be yours. And Lord, as we bow the knee before you tonight, Heavenly Father. Lord, as we say we belong to you. Lord, before your word, acknowledging your majesty, your sovereignty and your rule over our lives, Lord Father. We see, Lord, that you would deliver us from our enemies. Lead us, Heavenly Father, I pray, God, to be able to love as we ought to love, even our enemies and those that are working against us. Help us to love them, Father, Lord, and do good and rightfully. Lord, I thank God, Lord, help us as we go on a daily basis to be more like you in all that we do. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' powerful name as we read the Word of God. I ask your blessings upon it and the songs that we sing to glorify thy name. And for these ones that have been mentioned that are lost, that need salvation, I pray the convicting power upon them. And Lord, I pray, I thank you for our marriage. And Lord, I thank you for these past, oh good Lord, 32 years and 46 years worth of ministry, Father. Lord, thank you for all of this. And Lord, we just thank you for these many, many that are tuning us in over Facebook and Sermon Audio. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Okay. Let's grab that hymnal or that song. Amen. And tonight, I'm pulling out some old sheet music. When Stephen was accused, lonely and bewildered, no one that day would stand by his side. He looked in the heavens and saw the face of Jesus, and he rolled him over the tide. I've never had a prayer he couldn't answer. I've never shed a tear he could not dry. And when the waves of life are so high you can't mount them, he will roll you over the tide. When the world is closing in and my life becomes a burden, I want to run, but there's no place to hide. I just look up like old Stephen to the right hand of the Father, and he rolls me over the tide. I've never had a prayer he couldn't answer. I've never shed a tear he could not dry. And when the waves of life are so high you can't mount them, he will roll you over the tide. And he will roll you over the tithe. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, praise his holy name. I'm serious. I haven't sung these songs here. And man, my Lord, in a long time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing it back to our... amen. Letting us know, amen. Let me see if I grab this one. Hey, man, I'm trying to think if I remember this one. Well, I'll tell you what. Let me save that one for another time. All right, here we go. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to do this. Let me grab one out of the old hymnal. Man, I'm going to tell you. I'm gonna kind of mix this up just a little bit. Well, I thank God I love spontaneous. Amen. Like I said, I'm going to just pick one here. Bear with me just a minute. God sent his son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your Bibles out. Amen. Praise God. Grab out your Bibles and let's get it opened up. Amen. Over into the book of Exodus. Amen. I thank God as we lay it out here in front of us. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God as we look at the sixth plague tonight in our book of deliverance. Amen. That deals with the boils that affect the health and the body. Amen. And so these festering boils that afflicted man and animal, proof that God has power over the body and over the health. Amen. Exodus was written as a continuation of Genesis. In Genesis, God is seen as the creator. And in Exodus, we see him as the deliverer. Praise God. As we trace the events of Exodus, amen, we are seeing the following true account of the dramatic rescue of an entire nation. And I tell you, as we look at the battle for truth and right in America today, the Lord's battle against Satan. And in the passages that we're highlighting tonight, Moses was doing battle against Pharaoh, praise God. Pharaoh was an agent of Satan. And Moses was doing battle in the place of God against the devil. And God's people were dependent upon the outcome. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The responsibility to prepare the next generation. And notice what I said, amen. The next generation. Amen. because it ain't just about me, myself, and I. It ain't just about all of us. We're looking for the youngsters that are coming up today, because they're the next generation. They're the church of today, praise God. And I tell you, it's the responsibility to prepare the next generation that rests with us as we do battle with the devil and the prince and the power of the air and the god of this world, the one that has stolen the hearts, and he's stolen the focus of our children today and our future. And so if you've got your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me over to Exodus chapter 9. But we'll be putting up some of the text up on the screen here, reminding you right in this area here where you've got all of the land of Goshen and Egypt, back over in this small area. As we blow that up, you begin to look and you realize that here back over is the Nile River and Goshen. Notice how the Nile is right in this area, right in here. And I thank God as you focus on that Nile and that area, that it tells us a good bit, because as we work through the first five plagues now, it may be good to pause and review just a few things that we've covered so far, dealing with the gods that were dealing with a little g of these five plagues that Moses has dealt with so far. We've emphasized on a number of occasions that the plagues represents God's redemptive work of destruction, amen. And that is, as he works to redeem us from our enemies and from Satan and from sin, from the power of the flesh and this old world, amen. Remember, you got three enemies. You got the world, you got the devil, and you've got this old fleshly nature right here, amen. And so I thank God, every one of us, the devil tears down and tries to divide and conquer, amen. But we've got to tear down the strongholds that are coming against us. And we see that foreshadowed in Exodus itself, in this book of delivery. And as the people of Israel are being redeemed out of Israel, it means judgment against Egypt itself. Remember, Egypt stands for a type of sin, amen, in the world today. And I thank God we've seen that as we work through the plagues, a clear manifestation of the lordship of our Lord and Savior. Amen. The devil focuses on the next generation, and Pharaoh knew Moses wasn't going to change. And when Pharaoh began to work the Israelites as slaves, he was thinking about the next generation. You see, the devil wants to enslave our children that are up and coming, and our grandchildren, and so on, because he's always focusing on the next generation, the millennials that are out there today. I'm going to tell you, I love everybody out there today. There's some folks that maybe that are not too lovable, and it maybe it's a more of a challenge to love them. But our place as men and women of God is to love everybody, amen. And if the devil can get our churches today to compromise, he knows what the next generation will do, amen. And so Satan says, serve the Lord. Listen, this is what Satan, because this is exactly what Pharaoh is saying. Serve the Lord, but stay in Egypt to do it. Won't you just, you know, put on a good one. And I think from the very beginning of the stories about what God is doing in the plagues, that has been stressed, one of God's purposes is so that Israel and Egypt will know that he is the Lord. It's clearly one of the great purposes of this contest between God and Pharaoh, amen. Remember back in Exodus 7 verse 5, we're told explicitly that God would do this in order that the Egyptians would know that I am the Lord, amen. And we've noticed a number of patterns developing in those plagues, amen. And we're going to put those up, amen, as well. But I thank God right in that area there. We're fixing to get into the Word of God, and then we'll get to the points of it as we read through the Word of God here, amen, in just a minute. But let me just give you a little bit more of detail as we look at the patterns that's developing in these plagues. For instance, the first two plagues and the initial encounter between Moses and Aaron and the magicians regarding to the staff and the snakes, the magicians managed to reproduce the signs with Moses and Aaron displayed. But in the third plague, the magicians admit that they were unable to produce the sign and acknowledge that what Moses and Aaron had done indeed the result of God's mighty power. And so I thank God it's all about the finger of God, amen. And so here in this sixth plague, we hear something a little bit different. Tonight we approach the sixth plague, and I thank God, like clay baking in the sun, the heart of Pharaoh is getting harder and harder toward God. This king has to obey in just one matter. All he needs to do is let God's people go, but he won't do it. If he did, He could have avoided all of the problems that he had had so far and all of the future problems for himself and his country. His defiance delivers destruction and death. His bitterness breeds burdens. His animosity antagonizes his anger. His hardness heightens his hatred. His stubbornness steals his serenity and serves him sickness instead. The pride poaches his peace, plunders his possessions, amen. And we act like Pharaoh sometimes. The same thing that happens to us. When you look into the mirror, do you see someone that looks like this king? Because there's days in our life that we can have a hard heart about things that we shouldn't have. God wants us to fail not to assemble ourselves together. And as soon as that time comes, we need to be making preparations to get back in his house, amen. You know what? We've got to turn while there's still time. There's some folks out there that they need to repent. They need to come to Jesus Christ, amen. They need to take the opportunity that's at hand while it's here. Change while there is a chance, amen. Surrender with the last bit of softness that is left in your heart before it is all gone and there's nothing left there, amen. God continues to turn up the heat on Pharaoh as he boils him with boils in plague number 6 tonight. And God alone has control over the body. He has control over the health. And it's not the gods that created by the imaginations of men. We can do a lot to increase the strength of our health. But in the final analysis, amen, tonight, positive thinking does not control the body and the health. And the gods of religion and man do not control body and health as well. This science and technology, there are some wonderful things that they've got out there of man today, but they do not control the body and the health. You can take all of it you want to, but listen, death's coming for long, amen. And the hands of the physicians and the nurses do not control the body and health, but God can work through them. Amen. He can. And so we can do a lot to care for our bodies and health, but there's only one person who holds the supreme control over our bodies and our health, the Lord himself, Jehovah Yahweh. The Egyptians did not believe this. They believed that the fate of the body and health was controlled by the science of technology. They were polytheisms. They didn't believe in a one God. They believed in all of these different gods by nature and things that were out there that couldn't do a thing in the world for you, amen. And Pharaoh had both sorcerers and magicians serving in his cabinet of government, and they served right along with the professional politicians. The wise men of the day, both body and health on this earth and in the future world, were placed into the hands of mere men, and the man-made gods they followed. And so tragically, down through the ages, people have placed the destiny of their health and their body into the hands of the prophets of this world, the prophets of religion and science and technology, government, sorcerers, witches, and all host of other imagined deliverers of the body and health. But this our Lord and Savior hates because he despises idolatry, people dooming themselves to an eternity of hell because of some false and terrible lie. That's right, I ain't gonna candy coat it, amen. I'm going to tell you like it is tonight, praise God, because it's the Word of God, amen. I'm held accountable for everything that I say and do, amen. And so there's only one true and living God. There's only one Lord who has the power to control the body and the health, amen. And the Lord God himself, Jehovah Yahweh, praise God, the Lord was going to prove it to the Egyptians, and he was going to prove it to Pharaoh himself. And the great lesson that the Egyptians needed to learn is the same lesson that every one of us need to learn tonight, amen. I thank God as we begin to look and realize that the Word of God, as we read it tonight, praise God, he says in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it came, and it shall become small dust in all of the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blands upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. Lastly, verse 12, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Notice how this is said. There's other times Pharaoh hardened his heart, but here, notice what it says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord hath spoken unto Moses. It's sad today that we begin to realize some of the things that's happening out there today in the world. Because as we backtrack and look at all of the gods of Egypt, it ought to say America on there, all of the gods of America, because every one of us has some little idols that are in our lives, that rule our lives, and we put them in front of everything else, especially Almighty God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here is a rundown of all of those things, because it talks about from the Nile turning into blood, to the Egyptian gods that are attacked, of the Hapi, the god of the Hapi. Now, I thank God these are all the 10 that are in threes that deal with things. I'm fixing to break that down for you very quickly as we get into the message tonight, because this is very important. You see, America breaks down their gods the same way as these gods were in the time of Egypt, because they're in categories of three. You see, the Nile turned into blood, the frogs and the gnats and the fleas. That's three. Then you see the fourth plague, the flies, the livestock epidemic, and the boils. That's three. Then you see the hail, the locusts, and the darkness. That's three. And then lastly, by Seth, the death of the firstborn. Watch this. Because of each one of these different gods, notice, if you can see this, this will be on my PDF that I'll put in my outline, but you'll see over here the different gods that will worship in place of each one of these plagues. Now, thank God, we're going to break it down into four categories against the gods of the water, the land, the sky, and then all of the gods themselves. As we look at that, we see here against the gods of the water, the first plague, the water that's changed to blood, the second plague, the frogs, and the third plague, the lice. Because all of these are related to the Nile or water. You know what? Sometimes that's exactly how we pick and choose things a lot of times. We've got things that we just, man, we just adore those things, amen. All about the water, the Nile River of that time, amen. Here was Osiris against the gods of the water. He was one of them that was worshipped during that time. Bassa, the priest of Hathor, was one of the water gods, amen. Then we come to their second ones, the fourth plague, which was the swarms of the flies. The fifth, the livestock, amen. Where's the beef, amen? I thank God. The sixth tonight, which deals with the bulls, all of these deal with the land. They're related to the people and the animals, amen, that we did. We look at those gods of Egypt, and I thank God. Every one of us is Khepri, which is like a frog type of god that deals with one of the gods of the lands that the Egyptians worshipped during that time, amen. This was used to protect expectant mothers for fertility. I don't have any of my notes or nothing like that in front of me. I'm just telling you right off from the heart as I say this, amen. But I thank God. Do a study into these and look and see how messed up and how much people begins to look at all of the idols out there today that they worship, amen. The Apis bull, as well, was another one of the things of the land that they worshipped. Amen. Each one of these animals, listen, let me tell you this. I don't have it in front of me. You know how they would sacrifice this bull when they did the sacrifice because they worshipped it? They would not put a blade to it. They would take it out into the Nile and drown that cow. And when they drowned it, then they brought it back out and sacrificed it, and they opened it up and everything. Man, I'm going to tell you, they did a certain way that they did everything during those times. We see the Sobek on the left and the Hathor on the right, some other of the land worshipers that they had during that time. And then this is looks like a big old, basically a swine or a bird. It's a Thoth, and then there's a little worshiper there. It's in front of it. Here, all dealing with the land, amen. The Sekhmet, which is another one of the idols that were worshipped during that time by the Egyptians as well, amen. Then we come up to those gods of the sky, which we haven't got to yet. The seventh plague, hail. The eighth plague, locusts. The ninth plague, darkness as well. All deal with airborne pathogens in the sky that these plagues are related to. Amen. And these gods of the Egyptians, amen, was Horus, was one of them that they had. Amun was another one of the gods of the sky that they worship. Ptah. Was another one, all of these gods that they worshipped during this time that they began to go forth, amen. And then lastly, which was the 10th plague itself, where basically the death of the firstborn animals and all of the Egyptian children here related to a narrow spectrum of the people and animals that were firstborn, and that was Beast, which was one of the gods that they dealt with, that worshipped at that time, and Tareret. was another one, amen. Remember, looking back at all of the physical forces that dealt with these things. This will be in my PDF. And so let's get right on into the message, at the heart of the message, amen. Because here tonight, one of the first things that we look at is the period of the arrival for judgment in verses 8, 9, and 10, amen. Here as we see bubbling with boils, amen. And so I thank God as we look at this, as our attention goes to three things in this passage, amen. God is a God, and His sovereignty is seen in the anticipation of the judgment in these plagues, amen. God is God. His sovereignty is seen in everything, amen. And these plagues become progressively worse and more dangerous each time as we look at each one of the things that they take place, amen. And so as we look at this and begin to realize what happened, we see the scripture, he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh." Amen. Well, I thank God. He said, "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a few handfuls of the ashes from a furnace." Moses is to throw them into the air in front of the king. Amen. Now, thank God. Moses is to take these ashes of that furnace and sprinkle them and throw them up toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. The dust would become boils upon the king and the Egyptians. And the ashes or the soot are very significant, because the judgment has come from all directions to get Pharaoh's attention. And it has come from water. It has come upon land, air, and now ashes, which represents fire. Ashes came from the furnace, which was a place a place of fire, and the tool that was used to afflict the Hebrews, amen, is now a source for those afflictions, amen. I thank God. The disease that afflicted the Egyptians, amen. Looks like the devil's working again. I'm seeing something on my screen there going on again. I'm going to tell you, the devil, he never gives up. Believe me, I fight him every single day because I'm going against him. Amen. And I'm going to continue to fight him. Amen. But the furnace seems to indicate a particular furnace. The companion, as we look at this, we begin to see that what's offered is the god Typhon, the evil one Setek was worshipped by burnt offerings of foreigners on an altar, and their ashes were scattered in the air by the priests to avert evil whenever the ashes were blown. These ashes were used to try to avert judgment, and now they're being used to bring judgment upon them, amen. And the scattering of the ashes from this furnace symbolizes the pronouncement of a curse upon Egypt, and it was a way that the curse was pronounced in those times, amen. And so the furnace in Scripture was an emblem for the bitter cruelty or the slavery of the children of Israel while they were in Egypt, and it becomes a symbol of retribution for Israel's suffering as well, amen. I thank God as we begin to realize these bulls that were coming up. And so the Egyptians would continue to reap what they had sown in the law of Scripture, because Deuteronomy 4:20 says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto his a people of inheritance, as they are this day." And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look at all of these gods that were idolatry of the Egyptians at that time, amen. It goes into a good bit of detail about those. Verse 9, "It shall become small dust in all of the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt," amen. Well, I thank God as we look and realize this what it did as well. But he says, "And they took ashes of the furnace, and they stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast," amen. Boy, I thank God as we look at this and begin to realize the boils contain pus filled with ulcers, and the skin festered as if it was burnt and it peeled off. And so it's sad to realize the pain that sin can cause. God is a sovereign, amen. And I thank God he'll always triumph over evil. And I thank God. What was this disease? We don't know exactly. It may have been some kind of anthrax that impacted both animals and people. And it may have been some sort of boils or leprosy or smallpox. Or they called it back in those days the Nile scabs. But whatever it was, it became proverbialant. It was dangerous. And you never threaten someone with something that's not dangerous, amen. And so it's sad to know. But the Hebrew word that we look at in this, Shekin, is a word that he was using also in the book of Deuteronomy, amen. Underline what this plague was, amen. I thank God. In Deuteronomy 28:27, Moses says to the children of Israel in his final address to them that if they are unfaithful to the covenant of God, the Lord will smite you with boils of Egypt, and with tumors, and with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Clearly, whatever this is, it's dangerous. It's not only impacts, but it changes human life forever. And so it's sad today that a judgment like this would have to be used to get the attention. God's trying to get the attention with COVID today. And there's so many people that have just passed it by the wayside, amen. But this plague demonstrates that there are many sins that have physical consequences attached to them by natural law. Diseases from sinful habits are painful, and they injure the health. They destroy tissue. They produce mental illness, amen, madness. They cause blindness and even death. Men and women know these consequences, and they hope to escape them, but sin deceives them into thinking, hey, it's not going to happen to me. Hey, just once won't hurt. I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm young. Some think that they could be immortal even though they're old. And so it's sad to know of things like this, amen, that people out there today act that way, amen. And so this judgment came upon them without any warning whatsoever. For the second time, this happened, amen, because Pharaoh was bound to know that it was coming. He was bound to be having thoughts of such of these things, amen. But I thank God Pharaoh's mind was probably filled with thoughts, you know, thinking, well, God may warn me again that this is coming, amen. But I thank God the word ashes that is used back in verse 8, the Hebrew word paya, actually means soot, amen. And so each and every one of us, as we look and realize, God can just take the natural things of this world and use it and turn it around against us. Amen. God declares some critical things that ought to concern us. And that is, we must repent and we must turn away from the evil of our ways and turn to God. Amen. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Well, I thank God, every one of us. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish, amen. I thank God he tells us in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so we must repent, turn away from the evil of our ways, and turn to God. Secondly, if we reject God, if we refuse to repent and obey him, then the plague of God's judgment will fall upon us, amen. Jeremiah 17:10, I'm the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, amen. Matthew 25:31-33, where the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And I tell you, there's a time that is coming. 1 Peter 1:17, he says, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And I thank God. Listen, you don't have to be afraid. Amen. As my preacher brother said, amen. He said it very well here the other day. Amen. I thank God. Listen, you don't have to be afraid. But I thank God it's the reverence of fear that you have of God, that you respect him enough to live a life without sin, and you live a life as close as you can to be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't have to be afraid, amen, of anything. God will fight your battles for you, and he'll see you through them, amen. And so I thank God it brings us up to our second one, and that is, we look and we see not only the period of arrival for judgment in 8, 9, and 10, but verse 11, the purposes for that judgment, amen. I thank God. Power over the body and the health, bubbling with boils, amen. I thank God we find the magicians are utterly defeated, just as in the third plague. They have admitted, hey, we can't do this. We can't duplicate this. We're having problems, amen, because of the finger of God, his power. They're unable to stand before Moses. They themselves become victims, amen. I thank God, as verse 10 tells us, Moses stands before Pharaoh, and God causes him to stand before Pharaoh, but now the magicians cannot stand before Moses. Now, thank God, each and every one of us, as we go through life, the purpose of this judgment, it was twofold, amen. I thank God. He said, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. I thank God. Here we see the casualties because the plague that was there, humiliating as this must have been, because I thank God as we look and realize that these priests could not be clean the way that they normally were in this. And so God's purpose was to prove that the Lord and the Lord alone held the power over the body and over the health. What was stated for each and every one of us bears repeating, that it's so important that I thank God that over all the years, the body and health can be helped and sometimes strengthened, only sometimes by man. But positive thinking does not control the body or the health. Religion and the priest of religion do not control the body and the health. Sorcery and the occult do not control the body and the health. Physician and nurses do not control the body and health. You know what? I believe, I tell you, the powers of darkness are working against every pastor in America, because there ain't a day that it doesn't try to come against me and try to work at my body. But I thank God through the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have to be afraid. Even though that it is something to respect, because evil is always out there trying to do its work and it's trying to divide and conquer. But I thank God, God's purpose was to prove the Lord has more power over the body and over the health. But secondly, God's purpose for plaguing the Egyptians with this festering boils was this: to prove that the Lord can stop men from standing against him, and he can stop them anytime he wants to. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so here Exodus 9:11 begins the magicians, false messengers. They could not stand before Moses. They had been standing against him, standing against God. But now, this plague put the hurt on them, praise God. And because the plague of God's judgment, the festering boils had stricken them, the purpose of God is very clear. God was clearly demonstrating that he had the power to stop the false messengers from standing against him, and he had the power to stop them anytime he will, praise God. And they claimed to be the priests of gods who ruled over the body and the health, but they were deceived, blinded by their own human reasoning and the scientific technology and the achievements of their day. Even back in those days, they could fool the very elect with sorcery and magic and all of those things. Our bodies are subject to accident, sickness, disease, and eventually death. It's not imaginary God's controlling our health or what happens to our bodies. As a man of God, I tell you, we do not have to appease any of these gods of this world, of the sports, of the movies, of sex, and of all of the other things that are out there that people get into, and food and gluttony. Listen, I thank God we don't have to satisfy all the gods of the people's imaginations, hoping that we'll find one God that will help us. Neither are we left hopeless when science and technology and medicine can no longer help us. Health is in the Lord's hands, hallelujah. And what happens to us is in the hands of God of salvation, the God of salvation, the God that loves us, praise God, as much as he will deliver us, amen. And a person is a fool to follow any other so-called God and the helpless gods that are imagined by men today. When the Lord Jehovah Yahweh loves us like he does and longs to deliver us, he does. And I tell you, we're fools to continue rejecting, denying, and ignoring him, because our bodies rest in his hands. We must therefore cry to him, trust him to take care of us and to look after our bodies, amen. We've got to be able to have some action. We've got to get up off of the couch and do nothing. And we've got to exercise this body, because it's a temple, amen. It belongs to him, and we are just lent it. And so as good stewards, even with the money and the talents and abilities, that we're supposed to take care of it as best we can. And we must trust him to eventually transfer us into the promised land of heaven itself when that time comes. In heaven, that glorious world of perfection, that there's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no thirst, there's no hunger, and there's going to be no more death, praise God. And so thank God, each and every one of us. The psalmist said in Psalms 41:4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Boy, I thank God. Just running the Thompson Chain reference on you, amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look at this and realize how it is today, the purpose of all that God's doing, amen, of being able to show us the things that we need. Let's move right on. The principles, lastly, the principles to this judgment, amen. The bubbling with the boils, amen, as we get to it. And God begins to use these things for that honor and glory, amen. God is a God that's sovereign, and he's seen in his handing over sinners to addiction, to bondage, and to their own desires. Because, you know what, they just ignore him. They don't want nothing to do with God. And you know what, God loves every single person in this world, all people, amen. Now thank God in verse 12, we see the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And it's sad to realize some of the things that are happening out there today, that people continue to fall lower and lower and further out into sin in this old world that we're in today. Amen. It's sad to see this taking place. But I thank God. Now, what are we to make of all of the things where people, the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, amen. The first five plagues, we're told either that Pharaoh's heart is hardened or that he hardened his own heart. But now in the sixth plague, we're told that God hardened his heart, amen. He says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hardened not unto them as the Lord has spoken unto Moses. I thank God. Are we to assume that actually Pharaoh hardened his own heart and that God's actions were only responsive? Well, I'll tell you, no, that's not right. Before the plague story started, God told Moses that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. But while we're looking at that, we see God's sovereignty and God's hardening administers a judgment on Pharaoh, in which God gives Pharaoh, listen, exactly what Pharaoh wants. Pharaoh's heart is hardened, not by pressing him to go against his desires, but in hardening him in the very desires of his heart. This is the message that we see in America today, right here. Listen, Pharaoh's heart is hardened not by pressing him to go against his desires, but in hardening him in the very desires of his heart. And that's what's happening in America all over the world today. This is the sorest judgment this side of hell. You know why? Because when God grants for the wicked to go their own way and to follow their own pleasures, Pharaoh, once again, we look at the second part of verse 12. Pharaoh, once again, he refuses to listen to Moses and Aaron, and he hearkened not unto them. You see that? Here we see the practical manifestation of a hard heart that's in America today. He won't listen. He won't listen to reason. He won't listen to their appeals. And once again, we're told that all that happened, just like the Lord told Moses, it would happen. God's foreknowledge, he confirmed that Moses' mind, because he knew what would happen when all of this took place, amen. Unbelievable, because God had given Pharaoh chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity. Pharaoh should have led his people to repent of the evil of their idolatry and greed. And the Egyptians were greedy, so greedy that they sought cheap labor in order to fill their pockets and increase their own comfort, even to the point of oppressing and enslaving people. And the point is this, Pharaoh was not willing to repent, nor was he willing to lead his people to obey God. Despite all of the suffering, he was still unwilling to yield to God. That's what's happening in America today. America is still unwilling to believe that God was sovereign, in control of all things, to believe that there's only one true and living God, and to believe that there's only one Lord. And I thank God, each and every one of us today, many people look at all of the wrong things that are out there today in their life. And so here we see these things that are transpiring, amen. And that is, as we look and realize that there was a period of arrival for judgment in verses 8, 9, and 10 of the bubbling with boils. The purpose for that judgment in verse 11 and the principles to that judgment, amen, that we see here finally that takes place, amen. It's sad. Many of us are just as Pharaoh was, hard, stubborn, rock-like. Terrible things have happened to us, and it should have pointed us toward God and led us to cry out to Him. But far too many of us refuse to surrender to God. We reject, we deny, and we ignore God. And so many of us even curse God, using His holy and righteous name in vain. What a terrible evil that erupts from a hard heart. Evil that dooms the unrepentant soul to an everlasting hell. Boy, I tell you, that's sad to say. I tell you, every one of us, He gives all of the opportunities. There's been five opportunities to obey, but Pharaoh hardened his own heart. God now reveals what is already in Pharaoh's heart. God demonstrated His grace five times. In fact, five, that's the number of grace in the Bible. And now the Lord hardens Pharaoh as predicted that He said He would back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. Pharaoh's heart is hardened some 11 times during this period. Boy, it's sad. The hardening was a judgment of God, and the Lord was emboldening the king to do what was already in his heart. The Pharaoh had already made his choice. God didn't make it for him. This king was inflexible with God, and his inflexibility revealed a number of insights. His interest, he was interested in himself instead of his people. His inability He had an inability to discern important matters. I thank God. His interruption, he interrupted his peace and prosperity. His impoverishment, it robbed him of God's blessings and happiness. His ignorance, he was immune to the needs of others. His idolatry idolized himself, and it revealed his pride too. And it was his way or no other way. Beloved, God wants to develop in us availability, dependability, and flexibility in serving him. I thank God each and every one of us have an opportunity to do this in the wonderful Word of God. I want you to pray with me. I thank God, if you would, there, as we get ready to close out tonight, bubbling with boils tonight, that hard heart that you've got has went so far that, man, if you would just repent and ask the Lord to forgive you and come back and come and ask the Lord to save your soul and to change your life. Some of you have went so far out that it's almost unbelievable how far you've went. But God loves you so much that he wants to bring you back. Amen. He wants to bring you back to this sixth plague bubbling with boils. Amen. I thank God. Our Lord and Savior, over and over again, you rule, Father. Lord, and yet we run into the events of our lives which make it difficult for us to really turn everything over to you. We try to hold everything back and not turn it all over into your hands. Lord, we struggle with it. We lose jobs. We lose friends. Lord, we face diseases. We face trials. Heavenly Father, Lord, and in the midst of those things, some of them are so intense that we begin to doubt your control and we begin to doubt the goodness of your purposes. Lord, remind us here tonight that whatever you ordain is right and it's good in the end for all of us and for our purpose, for your providence, Lord, that we find ourselves undone and humbled and in the right province of going in your direction, Father. Lord, if there's someone that has unconfessed sin in their life, let it be right now, tonight. May they confess it. Lord, if there's something that doesn't belong in their life, they've fallen by the wayside, but they're still saved. Lord, I pray that you'll bring them back into the fold. Bring them back into fellowship, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that they'll learn a lesson of your sovereignty, that our God reigns, and he reigns for the good of the people as well as his own glory. Thank you for your salvation tonight, and I pray, Lord, that you would continue to give victory to America and bring us back, Lord, and away from all of the idols of the small gods in this world that we don't need in our life. In Jesus Christ, we pray and give thanks. Amen.